Good morning. It's great to see everybody this morning. It's a wonderful day to be in the house of the Lord. Didn't it feel great outside this morning? Boy, it did feel like fall, but of course at lunch we'll think it's feeling like summer again, right? Let me bring your attention to the announcements on the right side of your bulletin. If you will, get the attendance sheets going today and pass those back for everybody. If you have not put your email address down and your address, if you'll do that, I think Theresa's probably getting most of them by now. But if you have not, put it down. If you will, that would be great. We're still collecting cereal for fish. Got our basket out in for you, and hopefully we'll have that thing running over by next Sunday. So if you have not brought any a while, we'd love for you to do that if you want to participate. Our next lunch with the pastor will be this coming Tuesday at 11:30 at Butcher Block downtown Monroe. We had a good group this week, and we do enjoy a lot of good fun and fellowship. If you have not done that, you're missing out on a treat. Right, girls and guys? September the 11th, which is next Saturday. Wow, that's coming up quick, isn't it? We have the United Methodist Men's Barbecue. It's from 5 to 7, and the plates are $7, and that'll include dessert, homemade dessert. If you have not been contacted by anybody, Max and the crew says just do exactly what you've done before. Come and help out with the men to help cook. And then, of course, the ladies will end up coming and, you know, getting everything ready in the dining room. So we'd appreciate everybody that can help out with that. We have an ad cancel meeting next Sunday, the 12th, which it'll be right after church. And we're not having lunch, are we, since we're having the barbecue, right? Won't be a lunch. It'll just be a meeting right after church. The United Methodist Women will meet September the 13th. That's a little bit later for us. Because of the little holiday weekend, we thought we would postpone that 1 week. And our mission project for that is canned fruit for fish. So if anybody wants to participate in that, that's what our project is this month. Theresa's actually planning a Bible study. It's going to be September the 20th that we'll start at 7 p.m. I think I have said that before. I'm really looking forward to that. That is on Monday nights, Theresa, Monday right? Mm-hmm. Monday night. So just plan to put that on your calendar. Also, we have a healing service listed, family night dinner, and it's going to be on September the 19th, and we'll start at 6 o'clock for that. Has anybody else got any other announcements or anything that they want to bring up?
We're doing communion next Sunday instead of this Sunday.
Communion will be next Sunday. We decided to wait on that since it was a holiday weekend. But it's wonderful to see so many people, even if it is a holiday weekend. But we hope that the ones that are not here are enjoying themselves. And we know that there's a lot going on with other people, and there's a lot of other reasons, and we just want to be lifting them up today. Was there anything else anybody wanted to add? What time are we going to be here next Saturday? Help me out, ladies. What time?
I heard it, 2 o'clock. 2 o'clock. Going?
2 o'clock? 2 o'clock for the ladies. Because it does take a little while to get everything done, right? If there's no other announcements, I'll bring your attention back to the call to worship. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
O Lord, you have searched me and known me.
You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away.
Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it.
For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb.
I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
Wonderful are your works. We praise you all the days of our lives.
Okay. our hymn of our, excuse me, I got sidetracked here for a second. Yeah. Billy Ann just asked me to bring up something. Going back to announcements just for 1 second. September the 25th at 4 o'clock, Tom and Julie are having a country gospel music, and they are inviting everybody to come. They live on Mount Perrin Church Road. If anybody wants to participate in that, it said bring your coolers, your lounge chairs, and just have a lot of good fun and fellowship. It's going to be at 4 o'clock till whenever, I guess. And I'll actually tack this on the bulletin board out if anybody needs to know how to get there. Thanks, Billy Ann. Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator, Mother and Father of us all, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Grant us to the joy of your presence, the wisdom of your word, and the wholeness of your eternal love through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Our hymn this morning is Victory in Jesus, and that'll be 370 in your United Methodist hymnal.
Thank you. each other with the peace and the love that is found in our Lord Jesus Christ. The peace of Christ be with you.
Our lesson this morning comes from Jeremiah 18, and it's verses 1 through 11, if you want to open your Bibles and join me. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, "Come, go down to the potter's house, and there I will let you hear my words." So I sent down to the potter's house, and there he was working at his wheel. The vessel he was making of clay was spoiled in the potter's hand, and he reworked it into another vessel, as seemed good to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, "Can I not do with you, O house of Israel, just as that potter has done, says the Lord? Just like the clay in the potter's hand, so are those in my hand, O house of Israel. At one moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will pluck up and bring down and destroy it. But if that nation concerning what I have spoken turns from its evil, I will change my mind about the disaster then I intended to bring on to it. And at another moment I may declare concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it. But if it does evil in my sight, not listening to my voice, then I will change my mind about the good that I had intended to do to it. Now, therefore, say to the people of Judea, and in the inhabitants of Jerusalem, thus says the Lord, look, I am the potter shaping evil against you and devising a plan against you. Turn now, all of you, from your evil ways and amend your ways and your doings." This is the reading of God's holy word. Amen.
children's sermon, so if the children will come up, please, and help me out. I'd really appreciate it. Come on up. You can have a seat right there. Good morning.
Morning.
Say it again. Good morning.
Morning.
Oh, that's much better. Did you hear the pretty music a minute ago? Did you hear it? Did you like it? Yeah. Would you like to be able to play the piano and to sing like that? You don't know? I know I do. I really do. I like playing the piano and singing, but I don't do a very good job of it. A lot of us would really like to do that, but we haven't really considered what it might cost us. How many of y'all have ever played music before? Raise your hand. Yeah? How many of y'all have ever sung before? Is it easy or hard?
Hard,
easy, and hard, okay? Most of us, I took 14 years of piano lessons. Wow, that's a long time, and I still don't know how to play the piano real well. When we start saying things, oh yeah, I want to be the next American Idol. How many of y'all ever seen that program? You ever heard of it? Yeah, I want to be the next American Idol. A lot of us don't consider the cost of becoming a really good musician. What do you need to have to be a musician? Well, you need a guitar,
or
a drum, or a piano, or a violin. And do those things cost money?
Yes.
And just because you have a guitar or a violin, does that mean you know how to play it? No. You have to have lessons. And do you know what? I pay right now $60 an hour for violin lessons. And you don't have just one. You have to have years and years of lessons. It starts adding up. When people say, yeah, I want to be the next American Idol, I don't know that they've counted up all the cost of how much the guitar is going to cost, how much the music is going to cost, how much the lessons are going to cost. So, and also, do you just instantly learn how, or do you have to practice? You have to practice. That's another thing it's going to cost you, is your time. So girls and boys, wiggle bits. Yeah, we all are wiggle worms today. Will you pray with me?
Dear Jesus,
I want to be the best I can be.
Help me
learn how to be your disciple. Amen. You can go back to your parents now. God bless you. Because we don't have any children's church today. Please go back. There you go. It becomes time in our worship service where we share our prayer concerns with one another. It's not on the back of the bulletin, but let us keep the family of Myrtle Cox in our prayers. She passed away on Friday. The visitation was on Saturday, and the funeral is today at 2:30 at Center Hill Gratis Baptist Church or Gratis Center Hill. I never understood which way it goes. Center Hill Baptist Church at Gratis. The funeral will be today at 2:30. So let's keep Max and Runel in our prayers today, and the family of Myrtle Cox. Are there any others? Any other prayer concerns? Anyone we need to lift up? Yes.
Gerald.
Gerald.
He had a bad
still at Shepherd's. How do you spell his last name?
M-E-R-R-I-T-T.
Well, I will say that Shepherd's does an extremely good job. I don't know if you've ever been there, but I'm personally impressed by their professionalism and by the care that they give their patients. We will most definitely keep Gerald Merritt in our prayers. Are there any others? Let us pray for traveling mercies for those that are not with us today, those that are on the road, those that are going to be on the road tomorrow to be with friends and family on Labor Day. Let us go to God in prayer. Dearest and most gracious God, you are the great potter whose greatest joy is to remold what is spoiled and useless into something that is useful and is beautiful. We thank you for your redeeming and your saving love and pray to you today to forgive us and remold us before we become set in our ways. When we turn our backs on those who need our help, our family, our friends, our neighbors, Lord, forgive us and remold us before we become set in our ways. When we enjoy saying things that hurt our families, our friends, our neighbors, we ask that you forgive us and remold us before we become set in our ways. When we are dishonest with others and with ourselves, we ask that you forgive us and remold us before we become set in our ways. When we are selfish and demanding, when we are irritable and bad-tempered and hard to live with, Lord, we ask that you forgive us and remold us before we become set in our ways. When we boast to one another and think we are better than we are, when we criticize others but ignore our own faults, Lord, forgive us and remold us before we become set in our ways. When we seek your favor without being prepared to follow in the path of your Son, when we profess love for you and for our neighbors but do not show love and live love, God, forgive us and remold us before we become set in our ways. Loving God, that we know that you want us to grow to maturity in your hands. And we know that you forgive us and you will remold us. So we thank you now. And we pray not just for ourselves, we pray for those who are around us. For the sick and the suffering, for the homeless and the hungry, for the despairing, for the depressed, for the lost, for the lonely, for those persecuted for the faith, Lord, hear our prayers. Hear our prayers for our friends and our neighbors, for those near at hand and those far away. Bless them and those people and situations we have held before you today, and those that we hold together before you in our hearts. Lord God, your Spirit can transform, and we know that your love is offered to all, and we know that you always hear our prayers. We ask you to bless this congregation of your people and make them into true disciples of your Son, our Savior. Bless our hopes. Bless our plans for this year. Bless the children that are among us. Bless our worship and our work, that in all we do, we might glorify you and bring light and love to this community and to our world. These things we pray in the name of your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Will our ushers please come forth for the offering? Let us pray. Eternal God, we prepare ourselves to offer back to you a portion of what you have given to us. We offer our gifts and the service of our lives, praying that they might be found acceptable to you. May they always be evidence of our desire to follow Jesus. Bless God all that we do, so that we might be a blessing to you and to our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hymnal and singing Are Ye Able? That would be hymn number 530.
Thank you.
And join with me in that historic confession of faith known as the Apostles' Creed. It's found on page 881 of your United Methodist hymnal. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our scripture lesson today comes from Luke, the 14th chapter, starting with the 25th verse. Let us listen attentively to the word of God. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and he said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and child, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. The word of God for the people of God. How many of y'all have ever started a project and ran out of money? I mean, come on. How often does it happen? It happens all the time. We run out of money. We borrow a little from this budget. We borrow a little bit from that budget. And we always seem to be a few days over our deadline, too. I mean, it's like every time we start a project, we run out of time and we run out of money. How many times does that sound familiar to you? Over time and over budget. How many of us, when buying a first home, if you've bought your first home, really considered what it was going to cost you? Sure, you know you got to pay the mortgage payment, right? We all know that. You have to pay the real estate fees, right? You've got to pay, mortgage insurance premiums. Remember those? You know those things because they're actually written on pieces of paper. You have the principal and the interest and the mortgage insurance premiums. Oh, yeah, and you might pay into escrow for your taxes. Those things you expect. It's the unexpected, the hidden cost that tend to get us. Like buying another lawnmower because the one you've used for 13 years is now broken and they say it can't be fixed and you have to go buy another lawnmower. Now, most of us don't have a lawnmower breaking down fund, do we? No. And so that's just another expense. How about when the roof begins to leak? Do we have a roof begins to leak fund set aside? There are hidden costs. There are monthly expenses that some of us didn't anticipate, like our neighborhood has decided to form a, neighborhood watch program, and they've expected everyone to pitch in $25. Well, isn't that special? That wasn't in my budget. I didn't plan on paying that. House goods can add up real fast. Like, I didn't realize how fast it was. Here's a personal story. Since we can't get rid of our house in Loganville, if anyone wants to buy a nice house for $13,000 more than it's worth, just let me know. Because we can't sell it right now. So we decided, we'll just leave some stuff there. We'll move some stuff to the parsonage. We're not going to move that much. And we won't have to buy that much extra, right? Well, we bought extra beds because we want beds in both places. You can't even show a house nicely without having a bed there, you know, so people know what the room's for. So, you know, if I bought a bed, then I might need to buy new bed linens. Oh, yeah, and then we need some curtains to match, don't we? Don't you need curtains? You have to have curtains. And throw pillows and bed skirts. Now, that might not be exactly necessary, but I got them anyhow. We had to buy another set of measuring cups because we left everything over there, you know, more or less intact because, you know, so we had to buy, I think we added up about twice what we thought it was going to cost, easily. None of us are really good at considering hidden cost. In fact, if you go to Google and you type in the words hidden cost, you get over 100 million hits of different things that have hidden cost. And they're all about things around like home owning, having a job costs you money. There are hidden costs. There's transportation costs, wardrobe costs, lunch costs, those kinds of things. Health care has hidden costs because you didn't know they weren't going to pay that $10 for that Advil while you were in the hospital. Let's see, pet ownership has hidden costs. I found hidden cost of fossil fuel usage, car rental, war. It goes endless. They're hidden cost to everything. I think it's kind of human nature. When we want something really, really bad, we don't really consider the true cost. Is that true? We really want that XYZ. Oh, I wanted a Fiat when I was in college. I didn't know that Fiat was short for fix it again, Tony. And I ended up spending a lot of money. And my mechanic's name was not Tony, it was Tommy. But I ended up spending a lot of money on that Fiat before I ended up selling it because I just wanted it so bad. You ever been there? Relationships cost us, do they not? Even when you get married, one of the first things that people realize is, I don't really have time for myself anymore. You have to give up, when you get married, part of your independence. You're no longer an independent person. You're part of a couple. And you have to consider what your spouse wants to do as well. And then when you have children, you might as well forget ever having a life, right? Your life doesn't belong to you anymore. It belongs to your kids. Did you ever consider that before you had that baby? Or do we consider that baby more than worth it? That no matter how much it cost me personally, I love this person so much that it doesn't matter how much it cost. That I love my children so much that I willingly give over large pieces of my time, my energy, my money, my everything to them because I love them. Relationships aren't really free. They cost something. But they usually give you back something greater than you would have just by yourself. Is that not true? Even our relationship with Jesus cost us something. And according to the book of Luke here, that cost is pretty high. It's going to cost you your family, your life, and all of your possessions. Are we really ready for that kind of cost? Have you ever heard it put that way before? It's pretty clear here, isn't it? It's about as clear as day what it's going to cost us. First thing in this passage that Jesus tells us, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, his wife and his children, his brothers and sisters, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Hate. Hate's a pretty strong word there, isn't it? Does he really mean hate? Now, I will say, now if you look at the Greek, which most of us don't bother to do, but I actually did. I looked it up today, this week, because that word hate really bothered me. If you look up the Greek, you notice a couple of things. First, you will notice that the Greek word there for hate is not exactly what we mean by hate. It's a comparative word that means love much less. Okay, that makes that a little better, doesn't it? Love much less. You have to love me and love your mother and your father much less. Love your children and your wife much less. Your own life you need to love much less than you love me. Eugene Peterson in The Message translates it like this. Anyone who comes to me but refuses to let go of father and mother, spouse, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even one's own self, cannot be my disciple. That's a little easier to understand, isn't it? Still pretty steep. What Jesus is telling us is that we cannot get our identity any longer
from our family, from our relationships, even from the way we live our own life. And family used to be all there was. That was it. It was whose family did you belong to? What house are you from? That's not the way it is, particularly in our society anymore. We don't go up and say, are you one of the Devereaux Jones? Are you one of the Claiborne Jones? And then judge a person about who their relations are. And then someone pointed out to me, well, you know, true Southerners actually still do that. Do they not? Yeah, we do a little bit. We have a new family. It doesn't matter how much identity you get from being a Devereaux Jones. I have a cousin who's actually a Devereaux Jones. It doesn't matter how much status you get from being one of the Chastains. What matters the most is that you now have joined the family of God. That you now have a new name, and that name is Christian. Do you know what Christian kind of means in the original language? It means little Christ. You are a little Christ. That's what you are when you become a Christian. We give up our identity as a family, as a Jones or a Smith or a Brown or a Gray, and we take on the identity of Christian. The second thing he says is, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Now, he says this before his own execution, before his own crucifixion. And what on earth then would this have meant to his original hearers if they didn't know that he was going to be crucified? Now, we see it with 20th century eyes. We know that Christ was crucified, dead, and rose again, right? But he's telling them, you have to go out and carry your own electric chair. What craziness is this? How many of us want to carry around an electric chair on our back? He's telling us something that we don't want to hear. It certainly wasn't what the original people who heard this wanted to hear. They wanted to hear that he was coming in on a white horse. The Messiah is supposed to be coming in on a white horse and rescuing us from all this oppression from Rome. He isn't supposed to tell us we're going to carry around our own method of execution on our back. And then he says, anyone who won't shoulder his own cross and follow behind me cannot be my disciple. And it sounds like he wants us to bend underneath the weight of a heavy burden, to bear the instrument of our own death. And yes, that's exactly what he's asking. It means boldness. It means no shrinking before the hard task. Doesn't mean extraordinary things. You know, that's just my cross to bear. Have you ever heard anyone say that before? I have X, CFS, chronic fatigue, and that's just my cross to bear. I have diabetes, that's just my cross to bear. My mother's in a nursing home, that's just my cross to bear. But in other places in the gospel, it says daily take up your cross and follow him. It's not some sort of extraordinary spiritual suffering he's talking about. It's the ordinary little things of everyday life. In the New Interpreter's Bible, Alan Culpepper, in his commentary on Luke, wrote, the language of the cross-bearing has been corrupted by overuse. Bearing a cross has nothing to do with chronic illness, painful physical conditions, or trying family relationships. It is instead what we do voluntarily as a consequence to our commitment to Jesus Christ. In other words, he's saying, pick up your cross and follow me, is to live crossways to the rest of the world. That is your cross to bear.
to not be of this world, but to be a follower of Christ, to have a life, a new life, and a new family called Christian, and to be shaped by our willingness to do the hard task. And it's going to put you crossways to the world, I promise you. If you honestly follow Jesus, there are going to be times where people in this world are going to think you are crazy. You want to give up your money to help feed the hungry? Are you crazy? You want to go to Africa to see people in malaria-ridden areas? Are you crazy? You might come down with malaria yourself. But that is what we are called to do. We are called to be in service to Christ. Are you crazy? You're going to go work in a store and not get paid on Monday mornings? You must be crazy. Can you hear it? That's the wisdom of the world. But the wisdom of Christ puts us crossways to this world, because we do have that new identity. We are becoming little Christ. We are becoming more and more like Christ as we are transformed into His image. Remember what it says in Romans 12, "Therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer up your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform yourself any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will." We are transformed every day. We are bearing our cross every day. The cross that comes with the name of Christian. Any time that you are doing whatever God's will is, you are bearing your cross. And that means, too, that in your vocation, as we go into this labor this day where we have now come to celebrate different vocations, that whatever you do Monday through Friday, you can do as a Christian and so help transform this world. You can do whatever it is that you do during the week to the glory of God, giving it your best effort. No matter if you're a plumber, go out there and do the best possible plumbing for the glory of God. If you are an attorney, go out there and be the best possible attorney ever for the glory of God. If you are an insurance salesperson, if you are a receptionist, no matter what you do, a postal worker, do it for the glory of God. And accept those sufferings that you encounter, that really quarrelsome customer who wants to argue, is it $14.95 or $14.94? Have you ever heard anybody argue with a sales clerk like that? Just accept that person. And accept her as a beloved part of God's creation. That irritating customer service person, now that's my personal cross to bear, I suppose, because I seem to run across them all the time. But I treat them as a beloved child of God, seeing this as part of the cross that I have to bear. That arrogant driver in the other lane that's giving you that Hawaiian hand symbol, you know which one I'm talking about? That person is a beloved child of God. And we should accept them for who they are. We do all that we do for the glory of God. So first we take on a new family. We love Christ more than we love our own family. In fact, our own lives. And secondly, we take up our cross daily and bear it for Christ. What's the third thing he said we have to give up? Oh yeah, our stuff. Give up your stuff. It says so right there in the Bible. I mean, if you want to ever hit somebody with a verse, hit them with that one. It says right here, you cannot be my disciple unless you give up all your possessions. How about that? How many of us have done that? I will say I haven't. Maybe St. Francis of Assisi did it. He claimed that he didn't even own the robes that he wore, that Christ owned them. Give up all your stuff. It says so right there in the Bible. Clear as day, huh? Clear as mud. Let us remember a couple of things. First of all, he's already talking to people that are probably dirt poor. That's who his followers were in the first century. They were not necessarily the aristocracy, the ruling class, those who had lots of stuff. They're the poor. And by saying that you can give up all your possessions to Jesus is sort of a releasing kind of thing. It sort of levels the playing field. Do you see that? It's sort of a freedom that they have. Oh, we don't have to own stuff. And you know why? Because it used to be in the first century, they knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that the ones that God blessed materially had more of God's blessing than the poor. That those that had houses to live in and servants and chariots and dinnerware and whatever else were the ones that were blessed by God. Now in the 21st century, that's not necessary. We don't think that anymore, do we? Well, we're trying to move away from it. We can't use our possessions as a proof of how much God loves us. In fact, it says in the book of Timothy, I think it is, that all good gifts come from God and ultimately belong to God. When he's talking about giving up all your stuff, he doesn't really want us to be all unemployed and homeless, wearing rags. What he's saying is that he doesn't want them to take precedent over him, just like he doesn't want your job to take precedent over him, or even your own family. That Christ is the ultimate thing that we should pursue. If you look again at the message, it says here, this verse says, simply put, if you're not willing to take what is dearest to you, whether plans or people, and kiss it goodbye, then you cannot be my disciple. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who died in Germany in a German concentration camp, said the cost of following Jesus is not cheap because it cost Jesus his own life. Jesus does not call us into a comfortable and easy faith, the one that's so common in Americans, in American Christianity. He wants us to count the cost, to lay up our cross, to give up our possessions so that we, like Jesus, have no place to lay our head. And I will say that I like a challenge as much as anyone. And yet, I say to Jesus, yes, I will be your disciple. I've considered the cost. And then I'm finding myself holding something back, putting it behind my back. So I'm answering sort of a yes, maybe. And that is part of our human nature, is it not? The good news is this, y'all. We don't have to do it alone. That when we struggle with it, when we struggle putting Christ first, all we have to do is pray and say, God, I'm having trouble putting you first today. It says in Matthew, if you'll remember, that Jesus himself will help us carry our burdens. Follow me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There's the moment of grace in it.
What he's looking for is our willingness. We might have a hard time doing it, but he wants to know where our hearts are. Let us pray. Loving God, you created us to be more than just what we can possess. You created us to participate in your work in this world. As we go forth this week, God, we ask that you help us choose each day to follow the life of a Christian, to pursue discipleship. Lord, remind us of who we are, but most importantly, remind us of whose we are. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. If you'll join us for the first and the last verses of Have Thine Own Way, Lord, on page 382. 382.
And love and care for one another in the name of Jesus. And may God make safe to you each step. May God open to you each door. And may God make clear to you each road. And may God always enfold you in the loving care of his arms, both now and forever. Amen.